Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into something really interesting, a modern workplace puzzle, cyberloafing.
Right.
You know, the immediate thought is often that's bad, right? Lost productivity, company resources down the drain.
That's the standard take, definitely.
But here's the twist we're exploring. Some studies are saying, hang on, maybe allowing a bit of this, you know, within limits could actually help profits and productivity, a real paradox.
It really is. And understanding this, I think, connects deeply to Edgar Schein's ideas on organizational culture. You know, his three tiers.
Artifacts, beliefs, and assumptions.
Exactly. Most places focus on the visible stuff, the artifacts, the office, and what they say they value, the espoused beliefs.
It's like we value work-life balance on a poster.
Precisely. But it's that third level, the underlying assumptions, the unconscious stuff, the unspoken rules, like you have to look busy all the time. That's where things get tricky. And these assumptions, especially with something new like cyberloafing, if they're not examined, they can cause real problems. It often signals, you know, a need for a bigger change.
That sets the stage perfectly. So our mission today is to really unpack this paradox. We'll figure out what cyberloafing actually is, how it came about.
Look at the surprising upsides.
Yeah, the benefits, but also the real risks. And importantly, what organizations can actually do about it. Practical strategies.
Right.
So let's start right there. What do we actually mean when we say cyberloafing?
Well, basically, it's using work technology, computers, internet for personal stuff during work hours.
Okay, like checking Facebook or...
Yeah, personal email, social media, maybe streaming a video, even just browsing news sites or shopping online. Anything not directly related to the job task at hand.
And it sounds kind of modern, but it's been around a while, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. The term itself popped up back in the 90s during that first big tech boom.
Oh.
And back then, it definitely had negative vibes. You know, slacking off, wasting company time, that sort of thing.
But wow, has that changed in terms of how common it is? I saw this American Management Association study from 2007.
Yep.
It showed cyberloafing went from like 23% to somewhere between 60 and 80% of employees. That's huge.
That's a massive jump.
And part of that, they said, was younger employees coming in. People who grew up with computers just didn't see the big deal with, you know, quick personal use if their work was getting done.
That ties right into just broader changes in how we live, doesn't it? I mean, picking up your phone to check something feels as normal as looking at your watch now.
Totally. It's just part of life.
And that expectation naturally spills over into the workplace.
Okay, so we know what it is. It's everywhere. But now for the really interesting part, the idea that this loafing might actually be good.
Right. This is where it gets counterintuitive. There was a report, I think, on France 24 English covering a university study via Slate. Mm-hmm. And it found that people who cyberloafed a bit were actually, believe it or not, more likely to be happy at work.
Happier.
Happier. More likely to stay with the company longer and potentially even boost productivity and profits overall.
Wow. Okay, that flips the script. Why? What's driving that?
Well, a few things seem to be at play. One is boredom. If tasks get really routine, employees are more likely to dip into social media or something similar just for a break.
Makes sense. A little mental escape.
Exactly. And maybe even more importantly, it seems to be a way people cope with stress at work.
Okay, so it's a distraction strategy.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if people feel the workplace isn't rewarding, or maybe they've been sanctioned for something, or they just feel unappreciated for good work. Cyberloafing can be a sort of mental relief valve.
So it's not always just about laziness. It can be a response to the work environment itself. You know, maybe you're stuck on something tough. Take 5 minutes to scroll, clear your head, and come back sharp.
Precisely. And you're seeing some forward-thinking managers start to recognize this. They see that allowing for some, let's call it healthy cyberloafing, can actually lead to more effective, happier employees.
Which translates to better productivity and profit. It's fascinating.
It really is.
But, okay, let's be real. It can't all be good news. There have to be downsides if this isn't managed properly.
Oh, absolutely. We can't ignore the risks. They're very real.
Like what?
Well, first off, liability. If use isn't monitored at all, the company could be exposed legally depending on what employees are doing online.
Right.
Then there's the obvious one. It can just be a straight-up distraction that genuinely hurts productivity if it gets out of hand.
Sure. Too much of anything.
Exactly. And security risks are huge. Clicking the wrong link in a personal email, downloading something sketchy, you could bring down the whole network with a virus or ransomware.
Oof.
Plus, especially in bigger companies, heavy personal use can really bog down the network, slowing things down for everyone doing actual work.
So it really is this balancing act then, finding that middle ground.
That's the key. And organizations that actually take the initiative to manage it tend to do much better.
As opposed to just letting it happen.
Right. Relying on sort of informal controls, you know, where there's no real policy, just maybe a manager mentioning something now and then that just creates confusion.
I can see that inconsistency.
Exactly. Leads to inconsistency, breeds distrust, and often means when a problem does blow up, the penalties end up being much harsher because there were no clear lines beforehand.
Okay, so it sounds like having clear rules is step one. How do companies start doing that effectively? It seems tricky.
The foundation is really having a clear, written, acceptable use policy, an AUP, for internet, for email.
Just laying out the ground rules.
Pretty much, it spells out what's okay and what's not. And crucially, it allows the company to state that they reserve the right to monitor usage.
Ah, so employees know up front.
Yes. It makes it clear that when you're using company gear or the company network, you don't have the same expectation of privacy as you do on your personal device at home.
Important distinction.
Very. And the policy needs to be clear, easy to understand, ideally framed positively. And remember, studies do show that allowing some personal use, these little breaks, can actually improve mental health. So the policy can reflect that balance.
Okay, policy first, then strategy two sounds a bit more intense. Monitoring software, you said it's like a shield.
Yeah, it can sound a bit big brother, but it serves important functions. It can actively block harmful websites or prevent viruses from getting through. That's the shield
It
part.
checks the network.
Right. And it can also generate reports on usage. This isn't necessarily about catching people out every second, but it provides documentation that can protect the company from liability if issues arise.
Okay.
But the absolute critical piece here is transparency. Employees need to know why monitoring is happening, when it might happen, and how it's being done.
No secrets.
No secrets. And those reports, they can actually be used constructively in performance reviews for feedback, not just as a punitive tool.
Got it. So, policy, maybe monitoring.
Yeah.
What happens when someone does cross the line, breaks the policy? What does discipline look like?
It really varies. It depends heavily on what they did, how serious it was. It could range from just a verbal warning, maybe a written one, something noted in their performance review, to potentially a complete ban on any personal internet use at work, or in serious cases, even termination.
Wow, termination is on the table.
It can be. But it's also interesting, some companies are taking a more supportive approach too, offering help or counseling if they suspect someone has a genuine internet addiction problem.
That's a progressive take, recognizing it might be more than just bad behavior.
Exactly.
And the numbers show companies are acting on this stuff. I saw some figures. David Greenfield and Richard Davis found like two-thirds of companies with policies do discipline employees for breaking them, and about 30% had actually fired someone over it. And the AMA study, again, 60% of companies they surveyed had monitoring, and a quarter had fired people for misuse.
It really highlights how seriously organizations take this, or need to, and it underscores why consistency is so vital.
Consistency in applying the rules.
Yes. Especially when you remember that a good chunk of problematic cyberloafing stems from employees feeling mistreated or undervalued by management in the first place. Consistent, fair policies, combined with a supportive environment, can actually reduce the need for discipline.
That leads perfectly into the next point, doesn't it? It's not just about rules and software.
Not at all. Policies are important, but they work best within a positive overall work environment, one built on trust, respect, transparency, you know, collaboration.
And there's evidence for that too, right? That culture matters.
Absolutely. Studies consistently show that when employees feel they're in a trusting, supportive organization, they're much less likely to engage in the negative kinds of cyberloafing or just generally have bad attitudes.
Makes sense if you feel good about where you work.
You're less likely to act out, basically. And when you combine that positive environment with sensible allowances for cyberloafing, those little breaks we talked about, employees tend to feel less stressed, they're happier.
And more engaged, more productive. It's that win-win again.
Exactly. It feeds back into better results for the company.
And this whole picture must look even different now with so much remote work happening post-pandemic.
Oh, hugely different. Companies have had to rely much more on just trusting their employees, on their judgment.
Right. You can't look over everyone's shoulder at home.
Not realistically. And trying to completely stamp out any non-work web surfing when people are remote, that can really backfire.
How so?
Well, it signals distrust right off the bat. It can actually hurt productivity if people feel micromanaged or untrusted, and you might even lose good people over it.
Talent turnover, yeah.
Plus, if you try for a total ban, people might just find sneakier ways to do it, ways that are even harder for the company to track or manage. Maybe using their personal phone's data instead of the company VPN, for instance.
Right. Sometimes that 5-minute mental break scrolling on a personal site is exactly what you need to reset and tackle a problem, maybe more than just staring at the screen.
Can be. And there was another fascinating study, this one from NUS Business School, Dr. Rasha Maharaja.
Sure.
It found that cyberloafing could actually have a positive effect on how employees perceive their jobs and their engagement.
How does that work?
Get this. Most employees, apparently, are quite self-aware when they cyberloaf. They actually feel a little bit guilty about
it. Guilty? Really?
Yeah. And paradoxically, that feeling of guilt seemed to make them more aware of their responsibilities, more conscious of how they were using company time and resources, which in the end led to them being more engaged and productive overall. It was a real aha moment that guilt can actually trigger responsibility.
That is completely unexpected. So wrapping this all up, the internet's changed everything, obviously. Speed, connection.
Global operations transformed.
And it seems like companies everywhere are slowly shifting how they think about cyberloafing, trying to catch up with the tech and this paradox.
I think that's right. We know it can be a distraction. It can reduce that minute-to-minute productivity.
Huh.
But it's also gaining acceptance as, you know, a valid way to blow off steam, manage stress, find a little happiness boost during the day.
Which can then circle back to better work overall.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
That's the surprising link. Happy, less stressed employees are generally more productive and willing to go the extra mile. It challenges that old idea that every single second has to be visibly on task.
So the takeaway for organizations seems to be about crafting those clear policies, but doing it smartly. Policies that allow for those mental health breaks, maybe even foster creativity, while still being very clear about the lines and the consequences for crossing them.
Right. And communicating those policies clearly, formally, that builds accountability, make sure everyone's on the same page. It's about navigating the paradox, allow the good, manage the bad.
Find that balance.
Exactly. Which leads to maybe one final thought for you, our listener, to chew on.
Okay.
If we accept that a lot of cyberloafing is really a coping mechanism for stress, for boredom, for feeling unrecognized, then maybe the most powerful strategy isn't just managing screen time. Maybe it's about digging deeper and addressing the root causes of that employee dissatisfaction in the first place. Could tackling that be the ultimate key to a truly engaged and productive workforce?